The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, Kevin, is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield.
All over the world.
Another week, another show. Redskins fall to the Carolina Panthers at home on Monday Night Football, 26-15 to fall to 7-6-1. And just, what, a day after the Cowboys handed them the number 6 seed in the playoffs.
Got a gift from our arch enemies. Gave us a gift.
Cowboys, in this season of giving.
Right.
I mean, in this season of love.
Well, that's
right?
What we did. We gave it back. We re-gifted it. We re-gifted the gift.
I mean, the Cowboys, you know? Who made things a little tougher on you by losing to the Giants the week before, felt bad. Said, you know what? Our bad. We probably should have helped you out a little bit more and maybe helped ourselves by beating the Giants. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to beat Tampa Bay for you and put you right back in that spot. All you got to do is take care of business against Carolina. And they dropped the ball.
You know
the Cowboys looking out for them and they dropped the ball.
I'm going to make some fans mad now because I'm going to tell them the truth hurts. And I'm going to just hit you all upside the head
with
the
Reverend.
Truth. This team doesn't need to be in the playoffs. Why? Why waste a playoff spot on this team? They don't deserve it. They are not good enough.
Well,
they are not good enough.
Well, see, and here's the thing. It's one thing when you talk about good enough, and this is one thing you've been preaching all year. We're going to talk about a couple of things you've been preaching about all year. But one thing in particular is just straight up physical football and that effort. There were moments where it seemed like the defense was fired up early in the game. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that overall sense of urgency, playing like this game meant everything. And here's the thing. I'm not even going to go through playoff scenarios. They're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Not the Big Bang Theory,
and by the way, Carolina's not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. And neither are the Saints. It's weird stuff. And weird things have to happen for Carolina to get in the playoffs, including the Redskins tying one of the last two games.
Not losing.
But tying.
Well, they
some
do
kind of
have,
weird,
they yeah. are mandated to fill that last slot. They have to have
right.
someone in there.
So anyway, so we're not going to do playoff scenarios. We're not going to talk about the playoffs. What we're going to try to do is go game by game, because that's really what the team has to do. But look, you had your own destiny in your hands multiple times this season. And the first fumble of that was the Thanksgiving game against Dallas. And then you have this next opportunity Monday night. And you've got the sixth spot. You've got the final spot. And you control your own destiny. And to come out as flat as the team came out. Again, the offense was flat the whole first half. Offense flat. Defense seemed like they were somewhat ready to play. And even then, not out of it at halftime. Not out of it at halftime.
Right, because
before
Carolina.
Before we go to the second half, there's some things we got to talk about in this first half.
Carolina was playing very uninspired football. The close-up of Cam Newton's face, it was like he was obviously disinterested. Like he said, yeah, well, you know, maybe it'll go to
or
Bahamas.
Or perhaps had a slight concussion from taking a shot to the head.
Several shots to the head. But, you know, getting back to the beginning of the game and the offense being sluggish and uninspired, you know, it was kind of chilling out there in FedEx last night, right?
Here
you know,
we go.
It was kind of chilly. So, mm-hmm. What do you do when the best unit of your team and has the ability to take the ball first and stay warm, stay loose? Mm-hmm. You know, when you
set the tone, set
the
tempo
of the game, control mm-hmm. the ball.
And by the way, you said something key there. The best unit on the team.
The best unit, without a doubt, without a question. One of the tops in the NFL. What do? You give the other team the ball. Now, let me tell you, a little inside sports here, folks. I was not right at the set at the beginning, at the moment of kickoff. Well, I take it back. I was, but I had the volume down. I was at another part of the studio, and it came just in time for the kickoff. And I didn't hear what the announcer said. I wanted to know, because I saw the burgundy and gold was kicking off. And I said, who won the toss?
Correct.
So Claude was in the studio. I contacted Claude. Claude, who won the toss?
I didn't know because I was in the studio wrapping up some work, and so but I did make it, in time to see the kickoff, and so I looked on my Redskins app, by the way, and saw that the Redskins won the coin toss and elected to defer to the second half.
Right, because for some reason they feel like the second half of the game is more important than the first half. But see, here's the thing: if the points you accumulate in the first half, they allow you to add them to your second half points. So if you develop that philosophy, if you can get as many as you can in the first half, you can add them to your second half.
It all counts to the final score, right?
You know,
it doesn't matter whether you score them on the first drive or the last drive. As long as you have more points, that's the goal.
Right. So they leave the offense on the sideline when it's like 20 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. After they've been out there for two, I sat there and watched them on ESPN because they do the big pregame, warming up for 2 hours. Warming up, throwing, running, jogging, doing that for 2 hours to stand still. You know, well, it's ridiculous.
And it's like you said, and it's their best unit, the offense. If the Redskins are going to win any games this year, it was clear that it's the, and then there were a couple games where the defense made a few stops at the end, but it was the offense that scored all those points. And many of those times we were shocked that the defense actually made the stop to win the game. The Redskins offense is the best unit on the team. And what do you want to do? You want to put them in a position to set the tone, to immediately put Carolina behind the eight ball to put some points on the board, and they have to play comeback.
Obviously, you don't want to do that, man, because we're not brilliant football minds. We're just a couple of guys talking sports. But it just everything I said seems to add up, right?
You know, yeah, absolutely. Now, here's one thing, and this is what makes this so important. So you're looking at the game, and you're like, okay, Skins are down, and you go into halftime, but they're going to get the ball back, right? And so you figure, okay, this may actually work because we've got the ball. You've got the ball back at the half, and so it's like, okay, we'll drive down the field and be able to score, except for the fact that the first drop back of the first drive is like, half, Kirk gets hit and he fumbles the ball.
Yeah, because Carolina, let me tell you something.
What could go wrong if we get the ball back in the second half as opposed to putting the offense?
Yeah, nothing could go wrong. It's guaranteed that we're going to come back and score. It must be guaranteed because all season long, I'm sure the NFL films somewhere, they have the stat of who won the toss every game because it seems like we've won 80% of them. And we always give it to the other team.
Now, by the way, it was just 13-9 at the half.
Right. It should have been a lot more. But here's something I observed about the Carolina Panthers. Now, our friend Ronald Agers from Charlotte was supposed to join us, but because of some scheduling conflicts, you know, he also covers the Charlotte Hornets. And, you know, and you got to give it to him. I mean, it was a paid gig or us.
Right,
so
right.
That was a slam dunk.
Bobcats, right? Is it the
Hornets. The Hornets.
Right, right, right.
It used to be Bobcats.
Right.
At one time, they changed them to Hornets.
They changed it back.
I have a lot of relatives in the South, and they call Hornets dirt daubers because the Hornets build a nest in the ground, right? And they call them dirt daubers.
So why do they call them Hornets?
I don't know, man. Yeah. Anyway, I digress, right? But there's something about the Carolina Panthers. Let's remember, folks, these guys were in the Super Bowl last year, right? Right now, through whatever internal conflict, the turmoil they've had a down season, and that happens to teams. We have a team here that happened to the year after the Super Bowl. They didn't make the playoffs the next year, but there's still some pros on that team, and they have a good defense. One of their ingredients was missed. Two of their ingredients were missing because
Kuechly.
Yeah,
right?
That's not. I don't know why he pronounced like that. It's not spelled like that. He wasn't playing, and we got one of the guys on their team, on our team now. You know, right. thank goodness, because well, who knows what would happen today if we wasn't here, right? You know, but Carolina played an inspired defense. They would bring eight guys to the box. Mm-hmm. But all of them wouldn't come every time. And they would, when they dropped back, they would drop back in different directions. And it obviously shook Kirk up because his underneath stuff wasn't there. You saw him on a couple of mid-range routes to DeSean Jackson, who, by the way, played an excellent game.
He was he played a dynamite game.
For a resume game, which DeSean's out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, but Kirk was obviously shaken. He was confused. He was missing open guys. Guys weren't.
And it could be me, but it didn't seem as if he was rushed an awful lot either. It didn't seem like there was a ton of pressure on him. That didn't seem unusual.
Right. They blitzed three or four times, maybe, because I was looking at the game and said, well, they're only rushing four, so they should be able to handle this. All the guys guys out in the pattern. Nobody's back blocking, you know. Even when they blitzed, the guys weren't blitzing hard, right? They weren't like they were trying to kill Kirk. They were just like putting pressure in his face. And they played a good game. But this offense is supposed to be designed to overcome all this. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a lack of inspiration on these guys. The 1-2 coach must have missed a game, got caught in FedEx traffic or something, because that 1-2 just was not there last night.
We talked about DeSean Jackson, who seemed to be one of the only ones with some 1-2, 7 catches, 111 yards. Pierre Garçon, 7 catches, 78 yards. If it means anything, Kirk Cousins, 32 for 47, 315 yards. But he missed a lot of passes. I mean, he missed some balls early.
It means something to somebody, right? You know, I don't know who it means something to. The running game was
well, that's another thing. I mean, you know, you talk about the running game, you know, again – you get and I don't mean to keep hammering this home, but you get rid of Alfred Morris because you feel as if, you know, Matt Jones can be the guy. 8 weeks in, Matt Jones is no longer the guy. Fat Rob's the guy. You rushed the ball 9 times yesterday in what was a physical game. I feel like sometimes they just get impatient. Whoever's calling these plays. I mean, whoever making these decisions calls. There's a method to that. There was never a point in this game where the game itself was out of hand. There was never a reason to get pass happy for Kurt to have to throw the ball 47 times. Last night was not a 47, because again, the Panthers, yeah, won by 11, but they scored two of those field goals late in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, and still gave the offense a chance to win the game. So probably about 10 to 11 of those throws were those last two drives or so. But there was never a point where the game was out of reach.
Actually, the game
was... Why not reset and run and establish the run? It's like they get impatient. You got these weapons, but if they know you're not going to run the ball, what difference does it make?
The game was not sealed until Graham Gano kicked that last field goal.
Right, correct, right.
But they just well, it's not so much that they abandoned the run.
Non-carries.
But you look at the formations that were coming out there, everything can't be the shotgun.
We're not even trying to run.
Everything can't be the shotgun. It's like, oh my God, the quarterback's under center. What is this? And mercifully, Carolina didn't run the ball as much as they could have or should have,
practically, right?
You know, because they were averaging, it looked like, about 7-8 yards a pop initially, right? You know, but we were talking about 1-2. You got to give it to the Panthers, man, because they came out uninspired. It's like Cam obviously didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. But after the game started going on and after like a couple of incidents, a little trash talking here and there, right. you saw him start smiling. When he smiled, I said out loud in this very studio, oh, no.
Right. Absolutely. Let's talk about some of those incidences. The first one was, and this is the one everybody's talking about, and for some reason, you know, I'm not getting what seems to be in the you know, mass media for the most part, in mainstream sports media, people defending the ref on this one. Cam running out of bounds, obviously sliding, taking a hit to the head, and it's obvious it wasn't Compton. It was
Murphy. It was
Murphy. Yeah, he clearly kind of dives at him as he's sliding, and he kind of goes over top of him, but he still hits him in the head.
Right, with his forearm.
The question is this: what's the actual penalty? Can we go A, targeting? Can we go B, illegal hit to the head? Or could we go see hitting a defenseless player,
right,
or for roughing the passer because he was sliding, giving himself up?
Yes, yes, yes.
They opt for none of the above. No penalty at all. And this has been a consistent thing with Cam Newton, where he's and here's the thing. We're what, 14 weeks in as far as this game goes, right? And it's been a consistent story week after week after week. You would think that the refs would build some kind of awareness to this. Like, maybe we should watch to see if this has happened a little more. This happens. Cam gets upset, throws the ball and I understand that penalty. Like, that definitely should be a penalty for throwing the ball. It's unsportsmanlike conduct.
Right.
So you would assume it would be offsetting penalties, and we move on. No. No flag at all for the hit on Cam, but a flag on Cam for throwing the ball.
Yeah, well, interesting. And when we say throw the ball at it, it was more like you throw a piece of paper into the trash can, right?
Right.
You know,
he
threw the ball in this guy's direction,
like,
right?
Throw it full straight.
Yeah, really. Because it'd be like that elephant on that Richard Sherman commercial, right? Throwing the peanuts, whatever, right? But this official is the same official that played the Denver game, that officiated the Denver game and led the crew in the Denver game, where Cam was obviously hitting the head several occasions.
Several.
And the officials called no. nothing. Now, over the years, and I wish Ronald was here. We'll talk about to him about it next week. Over these weeks, this has to start taking a toll on Cam, not only physically, but emotionally, right? Mm-hmm. And as he said, I heard him say, I'm not having this fun. It's starting to take the fun away.
Yeah, he said it's taking the fun away, and he said, I'm actually afraid sometimes. And then people listen to that, oh, you're football. You're gonna... If folks are being able to take clean shots at your head and not get penalized, shots at your knees and not get penalized, it doesn't matter how big and tall and strong you are. Of course you may be afraid because this is your livelihood. And if someone's taking repeated hits to the head, hits to the knees, that can affect your ability to make money long-term and to play long-term in this league.
Yeah, but see, what was exposed by all this last night was the true problem they're having in Carolina. And it's that lack of want to. Now, they had that celebrated incident where Cam didn't wear a tie, so they benched him,
Which is ridiculous.
A pro athlete. And that the only thing that did was, like, Cam is supposed to be the leader of that team. The reason they got as far as they did last year was because of Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. He literally picked this team up. And because of the way he led and the way he played.
And dabbed his way to the Super Bowl.
That's right. But because of that, these other guys were playing out of their minds, right? Mm-hmm. Guys like Ted Ginn Jr. were making, like, the Odell Beckham catches and stuff. And last night, they were just dropping wide open passes, right? They were playing up to their talent level, except for that one. That Cam, I don't know what happened on the coverage, but Ginn caught the pass like he was fielding a punt.
Yeah, in the end zone. One thing too about this, make the point about Cam and the whole no tie thing. What's interesting is that it's not like he, was traveling with sweatpants and a hoodie on. By the way, I mean he was dressed the way Cam normally dresses, and whether you like his style or the colors and stuff he wears, he's normally put together. He's put together very well, right? And so he was again put together in the normal Cam way. Dressed up nicely. The outfit just didn't have a tie. He just didn't have a tie with it. You know what I mean? Still had a blazer or whatever, but didn't have a tie.
Right.
And so it's not as if he just threw on a baseball cap and sweats. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you look at the sociology of the situation. There's some things more important than football to some people. Mm-hmm. To some people. Now, Cam is handling it the best way he knows how. Cam is still a young man, right? There's a lot. Cam has seen... You got to look at Cam has seen most things from the privileged position of being an athlete, mm-hmm. right? And athletes,
paid ever since college.
Right.
No, basically. I'm just joking.
probably took a pay cut.
right. Auburn paid well
to come to the Panthers, right? But there's something going on. There's something going on where his leadership is being suppressed, challenged and suppressed by his own organization. Hmm. And maybe it's the financial aspect of having a winning team. It costs these people to have a winning team because people are starting wanting Josh Norman money.
Yeah.
But, but at some point during the game, maybe it was that hit or whatever it was. At some point when Cam started smiling, I think it's when, like maybe Big Swaggy got in his face and started talking.
Well, see, that's the thing, and that's what's so funny and weird about that play. So you missed the hit to the head, and I do not understand why so many of these analysts are sitting here defending that play. The ref had four options for penalties, whether it was hit a defenseless player, illegal hit to the head, whether it was targeting, or whether it was roughing the pass. Like, there were four things they could have chose for that, they didn't. And conversely, when Kurt later in the game was running out of bounds, he was still in bounds, though. He gets pushed by a Carolina, just pushed out of bounds. And when he was touched, by the way, again, he was still in bounds, they threw the flag. I don't get it. I mean, I get it,
but I don't get it. The main reason. That's the main reason.
Not my style of speaking code. I don't get it, but I get it. I don't understand why that happened.
Well, the good thing is, it was on national TV, so, maybe this is, in Trump's America, that's the way it happens nowadays.
You said something. What did you call that? You said he pushed him. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Well, the penalty was illegal use of head on the forearm. Right, So
it was just so weird.
But
the Chris Baker thing. So what was so funny about that play? So you missed the call on the quarterback, You make the call when him throwing the ball at the linebacker, and then on his way back, Chris Baker bumps him and starts talking trash, and that's not unsportsmanlike conduct. I mean, after the play's over and his flag's already on the field, this happens and nothing's called. I just didn't get it.
Well, see, Cam, not only with the S on his chest for Superman, he has a bullseye on his chest, mm-hmm. and as long as he can live with it. I do think that his teammates need to step up. You know, none of his teammates came in.
No one.
You know, and you can't tell me that the same guy that led them to the Super Bowl is not. And it's, you know, I see a lot of similarities in the RG3 situation here, right?
Where
you're my leader now, but all of a sudden you're not. It's almost like, you know, the second best thing to being a great leader is being a great follower.
Right.
I mean, you're not having your own agenda, but putting the agenda of the person that you're following, right? And I'm having some serious doubts about the personalities. Maybe that's another reason that a personality like Josh Norman didn't fit into the scheme of whatever it was they were trying to put in there, right? But I saw, like I said, some things like rise above that, even with the drop passes, even with the strange play calling, like you're trying to eat up clock and you're still throwing the ball when your running game is working, right?
That was bizarre
because it was obvious that the Burgundy and Gold weren't doing anything because they spent the first few minutes on the field out there in that ice cold standing still because they did.
The Washington Redskins lose to the Carolina Panthers at home on Monday Night Football, 26-15. Let's see, they fall to 7-6-1. Now, again, look, I don't want to bring too much attention to this, but I just got to restate this, okay? I got to say this again. In these cold weather games, man, shout out to the cheerleaders. I'm sitting in my house, real comfortable on the couch. I've got the heat on, you know what I mean? So a real comfortable 77 degrees in the house. It's laid up. It's all just all good. And these ladies are out there just working. I mean, going to work, doing their job in freezing temperatures. And they're not bundled up like a lot. I mean, when I went to the game, I went to the Packers game. It was cold there and windy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting in the stands bundled up. Hat, Under Armour, layers, all the coats. I'm bundled up. Me and my wife, bundled up. These ladies aren't bundled up, man. You know, and they're out there doing their job.
And it's interesting.
Shout out
to
the cheerleaders.
In a league where if you take a football and throw it over the goalpost like a basketball, 15 yards and a monetary fine. But these chicks can come out here and hot pass. What values are they promoting here? I don't understand.
Absolutely. And by the way, there was one in particular who took a real nasty hit. I think that there was one of the plays where I think Kurt was running out of bounds.
That was the Kurt show, right?
When he was already, again, he's in bounds. And he gets pushed out of bounds, and he just like basically chop blocks a cheerleader as she's in mid, you know, routine. She gets up, and she doesn't have one of these fits in these moments, and she's, you know, no, she doesn't do the grimace that Jordan Reed was doing with the. She got up and she kept cheering her heart out, man.
You know what that means? Because it means ISO camera time, right, for me, right? So she has a smile, right? You know, here I am, America. Look at me.
And here's the thing. So one more thing before we end this first segment. We've got some disgruntled fans. We want to let one disgruntled fan air his grievances next segment. It's going to be really, really fun. Because nobody will let you do this here.
Nobody else. They won't, only here.
Only here can you do this.
Now, look, okay, if you want to show us what you really feel, and if you don't feel anything but just totally upset right now. Something wrong with you. But anyway, you can hit us up on Twitter at FFRep, right? Or email us at FFR@federalnewsradio.com.
Yeah, we want to put you on because we're going to give you a voice. We're not going to do what the other shows do and cut you off after 5 seconds and call you stupid. You don't know nothing about the game, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to do that to you. We're going to let you talk. So we have a disgruntled fan coming up. But I do want to say one more thing. Jordan Reed. And, you know, obviously a boxer of some sort, right? I mean, that punch. I have the feeling, conspiracy theory here, that he actually wanted to get out of the game because he was clearly hurt. I mean, there were several times where he was either pushed, blocked, tackled on the ground for the one catch that he had, and he was just grimacing, just wincing in pain. And I was sitting there thinking, like, he's really hurt. Like, they should really take him out the game. And then he starts, I'm like, wait a minute, does he want to be in this?
Yeah, so he's going to be in a fight with one arm. You can't. First of all, why was he out there? Who was the doctor that cleared him? I'm sure the conversation was something like, what do you mean I'm okay?
Right, because he clearly wasn't effective.
Who decided that it was a good idea for him to be out? And what does that do for your second or third string tight end to say, I'd rather have this guy out here with one arm than have you playing?
One arm, and he doesn't really like to block in the first place when he's 100% healthy. And so you're going to put him at less than 100% out there and think he's going to block?
What was that?
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The Redskins fall to the Panthers 26-15 on Monday Night Football. 7-6-1 on the season. Two more games left. The Bears coming up. We're going to let a disgruntled fan air his grievances. Coming up next on the show.
And now back to Claude and Kevin and the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You know, they aren't half bad for a couple of old guys.
All right, welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, online at federalnewsradio.com. The Redskins fall to the Panthers 26-15 on Monday Night Football. And, you know, Kevin, honestly, people around the town, you know how it gets around here.
Yeah.
After you know, once it seems like hope is gone, you know how it gets around here.
Only because they weren't listening to us, because I told you last week, man, that this was a dangerous team coming in here.
Absolutely.
Very dangerous.
And so we've got the phone lines buzzing, and we've got John in Rockville, correct?
That's correct.
John, I hear you're disgruntled, man. I hear that you're a little upset about our Redskins this week.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It feels like every year we get sold something new, and every year we're down. It just ends up being the same thing over and over again. I mean, like, we got rid of Robert Griffin III, so that fixed our quarterback.
That was supposed
problem.
To solve everything, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then Josh Norman was going to fix our defense. Am I wrong?
Right.
Right. And am I wrong that isn't our defensive coordinator? I mean, I think he may be on the way out. I mean, I think people are showing up at his house with pitchforks right now. But isn't he a linebacker coach? Like, and isn't that what aren't linebackers supposed to stop tight ends?
Right. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, you talk about things that were supposed to solve problems. I remember when Joe Barry was brought in, that was supposed to be a big move to help get the defense together. And it hasn't done anything. I mean, it hasn't worked.
No, it hasn't worked. I mean, I'm stunned at like every year we get this new thing, and then there's guys like, and don't get me wrong, I think Will Compton is playing above his grade. I mean, but there might be a reason nobody wanted to draft him. Am I right? I mean,
well, you know what?
He didn't even play last night.
Here's the thing: our new general manager is supposed to be such a great judge of talent. And you got to admit, you know, he has done pretty decently, right? But by the same token, he's the same guy that was going to sign Matt Flynn, or did sign Matt Flynn to a huge contract from Green Bay to Seattle, and ended up getting beat out by a rookie, right? So,
well, speaking about his love for people named Matt, I mean, Matt Jones was supposed to be the answer, and we didn't need Alfred Morris anymore, right?
Right. And the dude named Fat Rob is killing it now, right? I mean, not Strong Rob, not Fat Rob, not Fat Rob, Fat Rob.
Okay, good point.
Yeah, I mean, and not only that, but like, okay, this once again, it turns into me having to make excuses for people. Like, I'm like, oh, well, he's just the general manager for 2 years. So, of course, fix the offense first so we'll fall in love with him. And now we want to fix the defense. I mean, like, I feel like he's like a really good friend that I don't want my wife to meet because he's got like a lot of issues. And, like, don't worry, everything's gonna be okay. Just don't look at that on his face. I don't know.
But John, one of the things that I've been kind of toying with today is the fact that does all these feelings go away if they beat Chicago and a few things happen and you're right back in that sixth playoff spot, or is this bigger than just making the playoffs? I mean, is it bigger than just, you know, what difference would it make to make the playoffs, go one and done again, or even advance to the divisional round? Does it all go away with a win in Chicago?
All right, so I'm 38 years old, and the best I can remember of Mark Rippon is like my dad telling me that guy's very good.
That's bad. That's bad. So you're saying you haven't experienced any of this for yourself?
No. I mean, I've lived in Washington D.C. and been a Washington D.C. fan my whole life. Have we ever had a consistent winning franchise? And no, it just feels like it's the Nationals, it's the Capitals, it's the Redskins. This is how we live our life. You know, I don't know. I just The Chicago, who cares? I mean, they look worse than we do, right?
No.
Is Jim Pressel even still there? No. Right.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right.
But I think they have Matt Barkley playing quarterback, right?
He's like 50-50 TDs for interceptions, so there's a chance, right? They blew a game against they should have had the Packers beaten.
Well, see, here's the thing with that, too. I mean, you know, why kick that field goal? You're 2-7, right? Or something like that, or whatever their record is. You have two wins. You're not, like, try to win the game at that point, right? Yeah.
Well, John, let me ask you this. As what do you think the first thing this team should do to correct this doldrum that it's in? What's the biggest problem?
Well, I think you know, even speaking with a few of my friends, I think Joe Barry's out. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I think he's done.
Why was he here in the first place? I never understood that. I mean, what was his resume?
Didn't he coach on defense of that Detroit Lions team that didn't win a game?
No, they won one game.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, they
didn't. I don't know what his and it's like he was the linebacker coach in San Diego,
right?
And that was without Junior Seau. I mean, I don't know, or Sean Marion. I mean, I don't know. Name the linebackers in San Diego. I don't know. I think probably that, and then probably, you know, they'll throw some money at some defensive linemen. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Junior Gallette when he gets healthy. Once again, I mean, it's
that will make the defense better, right?
I don't know. But here's the problem. If they buckle in and pay the Golden Boy, Captain Kirk, all the money that he claims that he's worth, they're not going to have a lot of money to get any good free agents. They better hope that
you still got to try to hold on to Deshaun or Pierre, if you want to go that way.
Oh, Deshaun's gone, man.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be here. Yeah,
he's gone. I mean, we have younger, cheaper Crowder, right? I mean, am I wrong?
That's it. Younger, cheaper Crowder. Not quite as fast, but, you know, pretty good.
Right. And is Dotson Pierre Garçon 2.0? Is that what the idea is?
Well,
we're going to take that money.
Some were saying he was like an AJ Green 2.0.
Oh yeah,
is what they say.
At least from the knees up.
See, we're giving fans a chance to air it out, because you know what will happen is you will inevitably call another radio show with this kind of stuff, and then they'll just scream at you for 15 seconds and then kick you off the air. Have you been up to date with this Stephen A. Smith stuff with Brian Mitchell?
No, I haven't.
So apparently, Kevin, what game was that? I think it was the first win against the Eagles. One of the players
Swaggy,
saying, "We're the king of the East. We're the kings of the East." And Stephen A went off on him on first take.
Oh,
saying,
sure.
So then now, Stephen A, after this game against this latest game against the Panthers, he just goes off on Brian Mitchell and the guys because, you know, it's like they were upset with him for saying that this is a loser mentality, saying you're king of the East. Like, you haven't done anything but win the NFC East last year when the whole division was bad. And so anyway, he goes on the show, gives him some work, and so now he goes back and says, you know, the Redskins lay an egg and stuff like that. But as a fan, you know, we don't see this team as the kings of the East. I mean, they haven't proven anything, right? I mean, Stephen A's right about this, right?
Right. I mean, here's the thing, though. Think about what these men do for a living. They literally run as fast and as hard as they possibly can into another human who is as big and as strong as they possibly are. Like, I stood next to one of these guys one time, and they were like mountains compared to me.
Yeah.
I would be totally insane if I were to say, I'm going to run into this guy one time. These guys do it like 70 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like, they have to believe on some level that they're going to win.
Right.
Otherwise, it just seems like the most terrifying sport in the world to play.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and I love it. I love it.
I do.
Do you care that four Redskins have been selected to go to the Pro Bowl?
Really?
Yeah, Ryan Kerrigan. Jordan Reed, Brandon Sheriff, and Trent Williams.
Right.
Oddly enough, Josh Norman or Kirk Cousins. They've been selected as backups, as second team.
And can I also say Jordan Reed can throw a mean right hand?
What? Yeah. Too bad that they don't allow that in his profession.
Yes! That was awesome. I mean... If your shoulder's broken, go out like that, right?
Right, yeah. But see, this is part of my conspiracy theory. I think he was trying to get thrown out of the game. Earlier in the game, as he's getting hit and pushed to the ground and even making catches and tackled, he's obviously in physical pain. And you can see on his face and in his demeanor when he's sitting on the sideline that he does not want to be in the game. And so in what seemed to be, like, I don't even understand what got him emotionally involved after the play for that specific play. Like, yeah, there was pushing around, but nothing that seemed out of the ordinary for him to react that way. And so they're kind of tugging and at each other. Then he throws a punch. And I'm like, I think he wants to get ejected from this game. I don't think he wants to play. He's hurt.
Exactly. I would do the same. If I wanted to act like a fake tough guy, you know, like one of those NBA players that pushes everybody.
Right.
That guy. You know he's not going to throw a punch, but he's going to push everybody. I mean, like, do it. Get thrown out. Be like, oh, I got thrown out.
Yeah.
Go back to my crutches with my shoulder.
I understand.
It's the guy who talks all the trash after his teammates are holding him back, right?
I mean, that's
right. It's the Facebook
Stephen
gangsters.
A. Smith of football. Right. There you go. Right. Afterwards.
Well, John, look, we appreciate your time and hopefully us allowing you an opportunity to vent over the whole world. Okay. Maybe that'll do some good.
Well, thank you guys. Hey, I listen to you guys every week. God bless you guys.
All right, thank man. You, thanks a lot. Right.
Take care. All right.
But see, Kevin, that's one of the reasons we're here, man. You know what I mean? to number one, give voice to the fans.
Right.
You know what I mean? Without all the kind of convoluted gobbledygook you get on, with people who take themselves too seriously.
Because most people don't care what the fans think.
That's what I'm saying. This guy would have been cut off within 15-20 seconds, and then they would have been calling him names. So that's not what we do. We give voice to the fans, and we also let the fans have a voice. We speak for the fans, and then we let them call up and vent their anger.
Yeah, now if you want to be part of the show, all you have to do is email us FFR@federalnewsradio.com or hit us up on Twitter @FFRep. And I have a couple of classic tweets during this game, right? Especially the one about Cam gets hit in the head, and the call is supposed to like on him, so the penalty must have been illegal head to the arm, right? But we talked about that, all right.
We talked about that.
We're going to talk about, too, on the other side. I did see the new Star Wars movie, man. I got to tell people
can't
about
wait
that.
Because we've been waiting for a few weeks for that. And so, can't wait to hear about your review for that, because Kevin, by the way, is a very well-respected movie critic
in
the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
That's
so
right,
take
man.
A look at that. The Washington Redskins lose to the Carolina Panthers, 26-15. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The Redskins fall to the Carolina Panthers 26-15.
You know what people should do, man? They should go back through the archives and listen to all of our shows for this season and see the progression of what we've said, like our analysis and what has happened. And the things that we've said that came to pass.
It will prove to be right. I can almost remember in third, fourth, fifth week or so early in the season, talking about running the ball more.
Yeah.
And I was saying that when they were doing 18 carries a game. Now we're down to 9 with Fat Rob.
So
it's like instead of listening and running more, they're doing less, and the result is getting worse.
Now, I heard, I think it was Fred Smoot today, mentioned, the coaching aspect of what's happening is that the coaches do not have the ability to capitalize on the talents of the players that they have,
right?
They're trying to make the players do things they aren't naturally doing. It's like, before he got here, apparently Josh Norman only stayed on one side of the field, which was just ridiculous to us because we figured you're paying him what you're paying the whole defense.
Yeah.
He get by himself. He should play defensive line if you tell him to, right? But Josh's thing was playing in a scheme where he was assigned a section of the field, right? And nothing really happened. And Josh Norman only had really two great seasons of his 6-7 season career, right? So we shouldn't expect him, although he's doing great as a one-on-one cover, it's really not playing to A, his strengths, and B, the strengths of everybody else on the defense.
Right.
So you really, really need to find out what these guys can do and do it. Because you know what? Just because they – and I've heard guys blast these players this morning, but let me mention a couple of names to you guys, like Bakari Rambo, David Amerson. What was the middle linebacker's name last that went to the Giants, is now with the Raiders, the one who Will Compton has taken his place.
Riley?
Perry Riley, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other linebacker is playing for the Giants, right? You know, everybody's playing on the playoff team except for Rambo. Everybody's on the playoff team. And funny, those people think these guys are good enough. I digress. Yeah. But yeah, go back, you know, federalnewsradio.com. All mm-hmm. our programs are there. Just take a listen to some of this stuff. Just see, no, we're not making this stuff up, folks. We know where we speak.
Absolutely. And you know, our disgruntled fan, you know, it's funny when you listen to that segment, you know, John Rockville would say at the end of a lot of his, you know, just airing out his grievances,
yes.
always end up like, I don't know. This is not, I don't know what's going on with this team.
We don't know either.
And we talked about the identity of the team, even when you come from the offense. Like, it feels as if, to your point, especially with the offense, it feels as if they're trying to force an identity that does not fit with the team.
No.
They're trying to force this, you know, high-powered, throw the ball out because they've got the talent to do it, but they don't do the things you have to do to set that stuff up. There's nothing more dangerous than DeSean Jackson running the seam down the middle of the field long after a play-action pass. You know what I mean? But you've got to run the ball, and people got to believe you're going to run the ball and be pretty effective at it if that's going to work. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, like for some reason they thought that play they came out with, that naked boot whatever thing that they came out with last night, it was like the Carolina Panthers at halftime said down to me, okay, the first thing they're going to come up with is this naked bootleg thing. Let's just go ahead and blow this thing up, right? You know, because they're going to, like, give us the ball, you know, defer to us. Like they're going to come out strong in the second half. It's almost like they're inspired. Here's what we need to do. If we stop them in the first play of the second half, they're just through.
Right. No, absolutely. And that's exactly what it seemed like it was. And to your point, even about the passion, like, again, the game was never really out of hand, or out of reach, but the Redskins played as if it was. You know what I mean? I don't know what goes into that type of mentality.
I guess a team that has no hope. I mean, you know, the only thing they wait to do is play, and hopefully they won't get hurt and see who has a job next year. A team that has no hope. Yeah. No, I guess if they had some motivation against doing well against Josh Norman, I guess he had the same motivation. That really didn't seem like it was a factor, right? Because I saw Josh Norman in the end zone when that guy caught when Ted Ginn caught that punt for a touchdown. You know. So yeah, as John
him.
Would say, I don't know.
And so, you know, like you said, like John said, I don't know. I mean, you try to figure out what, and you know, it was interesting because in the post game, in one of the post game shows on radio here locally, Clinton Portis does one on
does
one
a good
of the local
show.
It does a really
does
good show.
A really good job.
And you know, Brian Mitchell called up the show. I mean, they had him on doing a segment or whatever over the phone, and he said, you know, it seemed like guys aren't, you know, playing as hard as they could. Brian Mitchell started. I mean, Clinton Portis started calling names. He said, these are the guys that aren't doing good enough. And he started calling out names of players. You wonder if things like that go on in the locker room. Like, you know, after the Dallas game, Gruden decides to kind of give a fiery speech. And that was supposed to be the speech that ignites the flames, that gets the team motivated to play with passion. And we just didn't see that today.
Yeah, something like this.
There's times for falling apart, and there's times for getting funky. This is one of those funky times. So what's it going to be?
If he didn't say that, he shouldn't have. He should have said that. I don't know. It's, you know, you have coaches for a reason. The guys obviously... Can it be that much of a physical skill difference between a guy on this team and a guy on the team on the West Coast, right? Can the guy, isn't it possible that maybe what you're thinking is simple, is maybe a little bit complex with these guys, and they're nodding their head, you're coaching the meeting, but when they get on the field, they're just totally lost,
right?
Yeah,
it just seems like whatever they're trying to make this offense, and the thing is, the offense is the strong part of the team, but whatever they're trying to do offensively, it just doesn't fit with what the players seem to be able to. I think that that's a really smart observation.
Or defensively and a little bit on special teams.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about the remaining schedule. And as tempted as I am, we're not going to talk about playoff scenario.
No.
We're not even going to do that right now.
No.
We'll talk about it when it's relevant. Right. When the Redskins control their own destiny again,
yeah,
and with, somehow within these next two games, then we'll talk about it. Until then, we're not going to talk about playoff scenarios and pitches. You can go to one of these other sports stations and listen to people talk about it. They can break down the numbers and do all the math. Yeah. And talk
we
about
got other fantasy to talk about.
We don't care about that.
Other fantasy.
And we're not going to mention the four players who made the Pro Bowl.
You know, what
I mean, that feels like after the loss to the Cowboys, coming in and talking about Kurt's great numbers. Like, you know, so what?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the four players that made the Pro Bowl. You know, you can go on the Redskins app or go on Redskins.com. Look at that. But well, interesting enough, Kurt nor Josh made first team Pro Bowls, so, which is interesting because if you look at the offense and you say, who are some of the better players on the offense? Who's making this thing go? You look at his numbers and somebody's got to throw the ball. Kurt would probably be one of the ones you'd think would make it on the Pro Bowl, but he did not. And then even on defense, you're looking at it and you're like, you know, yeah, you would assume Josh Norman would because, and you made a great point. He has one interception.
Yeah, one pick
but he's been playing great. Yeah, he's been playing really good ball. And I can think of
like five quarterbacks in the NFC who will make it over Kirk because their teams are going to the playoffs now. Okay, but
so anyway, we'll talk a little bit about the remaining schedule and take a look at the Bears and the Eagles. But Kevin is a very highly respected
highly respected
movie critic in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And that's tough to do in these big cities.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? To be a highly respected movie critic. You know, not anyone can get credentials in New York City, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Chicago. I mean, you got to be a guy. You got to be a guy and know a guy.
And know a guy. That's
to be able to do that. You are a guy and you know guys.
Let me tell you a true story, man. Let me tell you a true story. These movie critics, as you can imagine, some of them have a certain air about them that they are the end-all and be-all of movie critics,
right.
of the film genre, you know?
Right.
And I went to one now, a good friend, Arch Campbell, who we know back from the Tony Kornheiser show
Arch
days.
Campbell.
Love Arch, right?
I see Arch
at these things all the time, but I respect Arch so much, I never want to bother Arch, right? You know? And so often I go to these things, and I see these guys like speaking to Arch about the film and the genres and so on and so forth. So one of these times, this guy was doing the film and the genre, talking to Arch.
Changing the inflection of his voice.
So I happened to have to go past Arch to get to my seat. I said, excuse me, Arch. Yeah, my name's Kevin Rim. I used to work with Tony Kornheiser. Arch stood up. Kevin, what's happening, man? I am such a big fan of you and the show and how's Genie and how this and that just made a big scene, right?
Uh-huh.
Which made me feel pretty good.
And you didn't speak about the setting and the mood and the
mood. The light and the shadows. Arch is just a dude.
The first scene of the
Last week.
By the way.
Yes.
When I'm reading a lot of the critiques of some of these films, I talk to a lot of my buddies about this. You know, they watch it in a way that a lot of people don't consume film.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
like no one cares about some of the stuff that they talk about except for other snooty film critics. You know what I mean? And maybe some people in the industry. And yeah, there are plenty of people who, you know, whether, you know, they're writers or something like that, and they may care about. But a majority of the people, I mean, so there are so many indicators about how shallow the culture is in America nowadays that people don't watch these movies for the things that they're critiquing them for. And sometimes you just want a guy like you, Kevin, who will go in there and just tell me, do things blow up? Do people die? You know, does someone fall in love? Do you like the hero? You know, you watch just one of those stuff like that. You know what I mean?
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. So anyway.
So all that happened in Star Wars. But well, anyway, we did see the screening of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of a fan you are of the whole Star Wars universe, right?
Right.
For lack of a better word.
So here's the thing with Star Wars with me. Now, I love the work. It's nothing that I initiate to consume on my own.
Yeah.
If Star Wars is on, you know, one of the other 20 billion movies that they've made Star Wars.
Right.
If it's on cable and there's nothing else on, and you know, I'm done like painting a room or something like that,
right,
I'll sit back and I'll watch it and I'll love every second of it. Anytime I come across it, I love watching them. I just never initiate. I'm not a guy to watch.
Well, people who know about the universe know that they had the original trilogies. The first one was called, now they call it A New Hope, but the first one was just Star Wars. The second one was The Empire Strikes Back. Third was Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, I think it was George Lucas, Steven Spielberg did the first ones, I believe, or whoever. But George Lucas jumped in, and for some reason he had this vision of, well, let me tell you what happened before all this happened.
Right. Yeah.
And the prequels, and they were all extraordinarily average.
Okay.
It was like, you remember Jar Jar Binks, the little, the animated character and all that. It was pitiful, right? You know? So, people and the people who like stay in line and dress up and all this, they became more and more disenchanted.
The weird people.
Yes, those weird people. But last year.
By the way, there was a story done. There was someone in freezing cold temperatures here in D.C. There were people outside of the theater. What's that theater right there on Connecticut Avenue?
Oh, the Uptown.
Before you get to telling. Yeah, yeah.
The Uptown, yes.
Who literally, like, made with, like, trash bags and other plastic things in a bus stop thing, like, almost like a homeless. Because sometimes the homeless will be in the street and it's cold and windy, so they kind of make, like, a refuge. They made that so they could sit out there for these tickets.
Those people probably aren't listening to the show. Thank God.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
But anyway, they did that because they were waiting for this.
Well, okay, like last year they came back strong with the Force Awakens.
A lot of folks liked that.
A lot of folks. I liked it too. It was different. It was a continuation of the original three movies, and saw some old faces and there's hope that this franchise is sort of like has a rebirth.
Right.
This movie was a standalone. It was called Rogue One. It was, if you remember the whole thing about Star Wars, right? It even made a joke about it on Family Guy. They had the bad guys. The Empire had the big Death Star, right? Uh-huh. And this thing is massive, bigger than the moon, blows up planets. Uh-huh. But there's a little trap door in there, right? And you sneak in there and drop something in there, you can blow the Death Star up, right? So this movie, and that was the plot of the original Star Wars. And R2-D2, the little robot, Princess Leia, hid the plans in there to blow up the Death Star, and she had to go to get to Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he had to get the plans to the droid to the rebels so they can attack Darth Vader and the Empire. This movie is about how they got those plans. That's what this movie is about.
Okay.
It's a standalone movie. There's no continuation to it at all. And it has Felicity Jones as whatever her name was. They think of some names for these people. Mm-hmm. Forrest Whitaker is an interesting role because he was in there and he had mechanical legs or whatever, right? And the lead, and I forget his name, but I found out the lead is.
Hold on one second, Kevin. Does anybody have any doubt that Kevin gives the best movie reviews? Like, honestly.
This is the way I look at it. This is the way I saw the movie, man. That's exactly how I saw the movie. That's exactly how I saw it. And you know what? If you go into it looking at it the same way, you'll enjoy it as much as I did.
The best movie review ever. Yeah. The Forrest Whitaker in there.
Well, I can't. Some people tell too much about it. I can't tell you this. I will. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you this one thing. Well, these couple of things. The lead actor, which I had a problem with because it just wasn't out of space type dude to me, right? It comes to find out that he is one of Mexico's hottest actors, right?
Okay.
He's one a guy told me in Mexico here he's average, and he did a good job, but in Mexico he's the guy. He's like Vin Diesel, now. Anyway. Now, let me tell you about this now. Those three movies that we were talking about in the middle?
Uh-huh.
At first, I thought this was going to be another one of those because I fell dead asleep within 15 minutes. I said, come on. I said, whoa, what is this? This is Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah. But I will tell you this. They came back extremely strong because this movie had some of the best... the best battle scenes I've seen in any movie.
Nice.
Like, this is up to and including Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
It was fantastic the way they did this because they did it by air, in space, and on land.
Right.
And it was so impressive. It was exciting. It was great. It was absolutely, it was so good. It made up for me being so bored that I fell asleep in the first 15 minutes, right?
So you give this one, we got to make up a rating system.
Football? So I give it a...
Yeah, well, Federal Football Report sports, so it's the FFR and the FF rep. Maybe how many Fs do you get?
No, we probably no, the Fs be bad, there. Right? Like my high school report card. Right. Yeah. Well, I'll give it footballs. I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5 footballs.
Nice.
Well, yeah, that's because I'm a geek, right? And I like this, right? But you forgot about the plot, you forgot about the story, and it was all action. And they introduced a new character, which was a robot. Imagine a big 7-foot robot that had some of the vibe of C-3PO, who was the protocol robot, prim and proper, but he had a little bit of an edge to him, right? Okay. He was a big robot, right? Mm-hmm. He asked at one time, how come she gets a gun and I don't? Right. In other words, robot saying, give me a gun.
Right. Yeah.
So it was good. It was good. And for the Star Wars fan, they'll enjoy it because of the story, like I said, about the plot line about the Death Star. Because you figure you make a thing the size of the moon, why you put this little trap door in there, right? Because that's a Family Guy. Like, they did a spoof of it. And Stewie said, well, could we board it up, put some plywood on it? Something, right? But it's well worth your dollar, right? That's good. Check him out.
Right. No, that's good. And so me, I'm not a Star Wars. Like, should I go back and just watch all of them?
No.
Just
to kind of, watch the first one.
But I mean, just in general, should I go back to watch all of them?
No.
Just don't want.
Although, I was like you. I was like doing some housework the other day, and then it was on because they're popping it because of the premiere of the new movie. And the first one was very good. It was very good. Now, it's interesting that in this day and age, you'll see the weaknesses in the special effects as the special effects have evolved.
Right.
You see, because this was the originator of some of these things, right?
Yeah.
And the battle scenes, especially these guys are shooting these things at lasers, nobody hitting anybody, right?
Right.
You can out.
Folks just zoop, zoop, zoop. Yeah.
But I think it's well worth it. I think you'd be excited, and tell me what happened in the first 10 minutes, if you know.
Okay, you got it. Because I fell asleep. But anyway, that's a good review of the movie. Well, anyway, this is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Great movie review there from Kevin. We're running short on time. We were going to talk about the rest of the season.
Yes.
Who cares?
That's right.
We'll see what happened against Chicago. Go to Chicago and beat a 2-8 team, okay? Go to Chicago and beat a 2-8 team.
That's all you got to do.
All right? We're not going to talk playoffs because a lot of stuff has to happen. Because you don't control your own destiny anymore. The only thing you can control is to get to 8-6-1. And who knows what can happen from there, okay? So that's all we're going to talk about. Not even going to talk about the Redskins the rest of the show. Show's over, people. Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.